flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
I don't know why this text tickled me. Dana Brown only said Boris in that clip. Is it possible he's talking about some random Russian guy named Boris? That would be funny. Because it is only like a 7-second clip. He could have just been like, oh, wow, Boris just texted me. My friend Boris Zukov, yeah.
I saw some random clip a couple days ago on Twitter where it was a comedian talking about how whenever he's out, you know, he's coming home from comedy clubs and everything, he's out walking alone in strange cities at 2 a.m. a lot of times. And he says whenever he's in fear of where he might be in a bad situation, like if somebody walks up to him and is like, hey, what the hell are you doing in this neighborhood? He speaks in a Russian accent. Oh. He responds in a Russian accent. He's like, oh, you think this is bad neighborhood?
And backs him off.
There's something like, because us as Americans have been trained by Hollywood for decades and decades to fear the Russians.
Yeah.
And there is something about a Russian gangster sounding dude that is that cuts across all cultural barriers.
Dude.
And you, yes, just, it scares the hell out. I was on a plane once with these two Russian special op looking dudes. Like, they looked like they were in their mid-40s. They had military haircuts. They were lean as hell. Yeah. They looked scary. And they had Russian, you know, you could tell. They were speaking in Russian to each other.
Okay.
And they were watching a movie on their computer at full volume with no headphones. And none of us said a damn thing. Not the flight attendants, not anybody sitting anywhere near them or anything, you know? Just like, eh, just let them be. That's probably a pretty good man. And the movie's in Russian, so you can't even enjoy it or anything.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Eh, I'm just gonna sit here and pretend like I'm not a beta male.
That's hilarious. So, but you didn't even know what they did. They just looked like Russian op.
They looked Russian military.
Yeah, they were Russian AF. Oh, my God.
Or at least former Russian military that now works, you know, security for an oligarch. Because they were in first class, too, you know?
That's funny, because honestly, that's one of the most annoying things is people listening to their stuff on a plane. Like, I would say something to almost anybody that they're doing that.
Yeah.
Not guys who look like Russian
ops. I just didn't feel like it.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I just turned the volume up on my headphones a little bit and let it be.
I totally get it. You know who would say something to them? Probably Bill Belichick. He would probably say something. He'd mumble it to them. Here was Bill Belichick yesterday. This is on McAfee, where he, at the very end of this cut is what you need to listen to, but he talks about the players and how important the players were to his success. And this is interesting, given some of what we played yesterday from Ted Johnson. Do Bill Belichick and Ted Johnson actually agree on something? Here's Bill Belichick yesterday.
Players win games. You can't win games without good players. I don't care who the coach is. It's impossible. You can't win without good players. You know, I found out when I had Taylor and Banks and Harry Carson, Pepper Johnson, Jim Burt, Everson Walls, all those guys, the Giants, and same thing, you know, when we got good at Cleveland and then at New England. I mean, it's, you know, it's Brady, it's McGinnis, it's Vrabel, it's Brewski, it's Corey Dillon, it's Randy Moss, Troy Brown, Lawyer Malloy, Ty Law, Rodney Harrison. Those are the guys that won the games. Man, I didn't make any tackles. I didn't make any kicks. That was Vinatieri that made that kick in 4 inches of snow. you got to have good players. And as a coach, you want to give your players a chance to win. You want to put them in a position where if they go out there and play well, they'll have a chance to win. That's what Coach Parcells taught me, is there's always a way to win. You just got to figure out what it is, and you have to give the players a chance.
They don't name it the Star Trophy. It's named the Lombardi Trophy.
Maybe they should name it the Brady Trophy. She won seven of them.
She named it. It wasn't a McAfee. It was, he was with Jim Gray on that Let's Go podcast. Yeah. That's what that was. I remember it being a Zoom. I always think, when I think of Belichick on Zoom, I think of the McAfee show. So he was on with Jim Gray there. It was that comment at the very end that people are kind of running with today.
They ran it, yeah, and it was kind of just like an offhand little joke, you know, to something that Jim Gray said, but now it's being turned into, like, this is a campaign he's on.
It's a topic. They're asking on Get Up this morning, should they change the name of the Lombardi Trophy to the Brady Trophy?
Should they change the logo to... Just like, you know, you always have conversations about how the NBA logo should be the Jordan Jumpman or
Jerry
something.
Jerry West right now.
Yeah, instead of Jerry West. Yeah, should they change the logo to a screaming Tom Brady? I think that, I don't think he meant it all that seriously.
No.
But I do think it's interesting because, you know, a lot of these are things a lot of coaches will say. You know, it's not like Bill Belichick has never said anything like that before. But Liam Cohen, the new coach for the Jags, once you get past him butchering Duval, however he said it.
How did he?
Duval.
Once you get... He actually was pretty good in his press conference,
was
I
he?
Thought. Yeah, and one of the things that he really stressed was that players win games. Players win games. And I wonder if Belichick, again, that's something that's said by a lot of coaches, yeah, but I wonder if Belichick had seen that interview recently so it was fresh in his mind for him to bring it up in that situation.
I think that
he 100% believes that. But I think that Belichick also, if you look back on a lot of his quotes or just the way he conducted his business in New England, it very much was in line with that philosophy. But because he's Belichick and because he operates a certain way, I don't think probably most of his players ever felt that that's how he felt.
Yeah.
Belichick probably has the largest group of players that he loves who, when they were playing for him, thought he despised them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they have a conversation with him after their career and Belichick's telling them how he feels about it, the player is like, oh my God, coach, I thought you hated me.
I had
no idea you felt this way.
Yeah.
So it's just, he didn't always express it to the players themselves, but I think their whole methodology in New England was find out what the strengths of a player are. Don't worry too much about what they can't do. Find out what their strengths are, what they can do, and let's put them in position to do that. And that was his coaching genius, was his ability to get those kinds of performances out of guys who would go elsewhere, running backs especially, and do nothing at all. They would look like superstars when they were in New England.
Yeah, I'm guessing one of the players who would think that Belichick is not all that fond of him, and maybe right, would be our friend Ted Johnson. Now, Belichick just said it's about the players and listed about 20 players off the top of his head and said, no, it's about the players. If I don't have good players, I don't have all those rings. I'm paraphrasing. Well, you guys just listen to him say it. Here was Ted Johnson, our former colleague here at 610 on his afternoon show on WEEI in Boston a couple days ago, giving Belichick 10% of the credit for the 6 Super Bowl rings.
You want me to chop it up?
Yeah.
I go 60, Brady. You ready for that? You're not going to like this.
No, I don't think I am.
I'm going to love this.
30% others, 10% Bill.
That's Ted Johnson.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Did you just say
10% Bill Belichick?
Yeah.
10%
out of 100?
Out of 100 got me.
I mean, that's where in our obsession for having either or answers to stuff or to be able to put just numbers and rankings on things, It's so frustrating because it's impossible to separate the two. Like, obviously, yes, it's the players, but it's also that Belichick is the guy who found the players and coached the players and found the coaches to coach the players and all of that. That it's impossible to separate the two and divvy it all up.
Sounds
and yet, we're obsessed with doing stuff like that.
I'm very obsessed with it. You know that. It sounds to me like Belichick and Ted agree with each other on this one. This is the one thing they agree on. It was all about the players.
Now I think that, you know what, if somebody asks Belichick, like, hey, what do you think of this? Belichick would totally say, I agree. You know, yeah, 10% is too high.
Okay.
He would give the smart answer about it.
Do you think he's lying when he says that?
I think he probably feels the way I do about it, is that it's everything. Yeah. It's everything all combined. That it's, okay, what's the most important ingredient in a bread recipe? Mm-hmm. Like, all right, is it the flour? You can't have it without the flour or the... Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what bread is made of.
I don't it's very tasty.
But with all of those things.
But I love it.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Is it the oven? Can't have any of it without the oven,
no,
you know?
Right. You know, it's funny. The sentiment with Belichick there about putting the players in position to do what they do best and what you just kind of said about how good they were at doing that, it does bring me back to the Texans a little bit, and especially that last game. I'm thinking that last game against Kansas City as we're watching – Dalton Schultz trying to secure the edge, you know, in the run game, and you know, just watch certain times of the year where if it looks like Bobby Slowick and the offense in general is just asking guys to do things that they're either not good at or not comfortable doing, or as a result, really both. If you're not comfortable, you're probably not good at it.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you think Bobby Slowick does next? What's his next move, do you think?
I think usually when you've been fired and you're still under contract, the typical thing is if you don't get a job right away, you go and you either be a position coach somewhere or you go as an analyst, which is the sweet gig. Because these days, especially, a lot of it's done remotely.
Yeah.
Remember when Vic Fangio was – people made a big deal about how Vic Fangio had been working with the Eagles a couple years back in their previous Super Bowl run, I believe.
Yeah, it was. He was a consultant for them. Yeah.
But he was – at the time, he was – mostly working outside the facility and just actually working with the Eagles offense, looking at their game plans and all of that. There's lots of jobs like that. But he could go back to pro football focus.
He could.
Yeah.
It's a bigger operation. I'd be
surprised.
If he went back to PFF?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if everybody knows that. Like, Bobby Slowick was coaching for a while and then was an analyst for pro football focus. So was he one of the ones, like, doing grades on offensive linemen and things like that?
No, I think he was responsible for teaching the analysts how to do the grades.
Oh.
Or just maybe look at a lot of the way they... Because people would be surprised to know that a lot of teams do subscribe to PFF.
Yeah.
Not for the version you can get on the internet, but for specific data. Mm-hmm. Because they do... Their grades are the dumbest thing they do, but it's the grades are the ones that are most talked about.
I like the most.
Yeah, right. Because we like we talked about, we like to have numbers that we can attach to things.
Yes.
But their grades are the most like unreliable things that they do. A lot of the stats that they do are really, really valuable, and a lot of NFL teams do use them. So I think they probably liked having somebody that could help them refine those stats the most and all the rest of it. But I can't imagine that's what he wants. I think that he probably looked at that as like a way to look at it, look at the entire league and watch a lot of film and break a lot of things down and get a feel for how different teams operate. So it was probably really valuable in that regard. And he could look at things through a different perspective. But ultimately, I'm guessing it was all part of a plan for being a better football coach.
You know what would be good for him, I think? You see a lot of coaches do this, especially the ones that still have money left on their deals. You know, I don't know what Bobby Slowick's contract is. I know he got... Reportedly, he got a big raise last year to stay on as OC with the Texans. So, you know, if the coordinator contracts are guaranteed the same way head coaches' contracts are, then if he's got some money, if he's got the ability to do this, you see a lot of coaches, Seth, take the year off and they travel through the months of March and April. They're going to all sorts of different college spring practices.
Yeah.
You know, they're going through their network of guys that they've got relationships with, and they're observing and they're taking notes. And then during training camps in the summer, you know, Bobby could probably go still spend time back in San Francisco or in other places he's been and coached And I think that's productive, and I think it'd be really productive for Bobby, even just the optics of it, looking like he's trying to. Because I think one of the big criticisms was his, like, the lack of creativity, how hell-bent he was on doing just his thing. If he were going to places where he's taking elements of other people's stuff, I think it would be a really good look for him, at least.
Yeah, it would probably be good just fundamentally for educational purposes, too.
No
question. And there might be teams that want to talk to him, and then you're networking and all
networking,
this, the rest of it that goes along with it.
Yep.
I remember when, with the Texans, I think it was the, I can't remember which year it was, whenever, oh, it would have been, what, 2000, the year before Coughlin took the job with the Giants. So
early.
Yeah. Whatever it was, he kind of took a year off and was going around and touring and everything.
Yeah.
And he was at Texans practice for a few days. And I can remember, I
got rid of this guy.
He had been coached for my first 5 years, and I was, you know, terrified of the man.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's standing on the sidelines in practice, and I practiced my ass off for a few days.
See, can you imagine, like, and like whoever was at practice for Sports Radio 610 that day,
yeah,
and they were doing their like winners and losers of that day at practice, like, yeah. Seth Payne has
been, oh boy, my gosh, yeah,
they're predicting Pro Bowls for Seth Payne. Like, Seth Payne might make the Pro Bowl this year. Did you
I was
see him
afraid
at practice?
That I'd get cut after Tom Coughlin watched one of my practices. Yeah.
No, he wasn't even the coach. It would have been
power he had over me.
It would have been 2003 would have been that year, because he took a year off between 02 and 04. So yeah. Yeah, man. So Bobby Slowick, yeah, I don't see him winding up on somebody's stat, like as a quarterback's coach or anything. So I would take the year off if I were him, and I would try like hell to get back to being an OC sooner rather than. You don't want to get stuck
you know
on
where
a lower
he can't
rung,
go.
You know?
Yeah, you know where he can't go back to San Francisco.
Right.
Because I think that's part of the – I think part of the concern or the stigma about him would be like, okay, he's just trying to be Kyle Shanahan or whatever. Yeah, I think he's got to get outside of the Shanahan tree a bit, because he was in Washington before that.
He was,
you know?
Yeah. Okay, so right, he's been
with Shanahan's,
yeah, the whole time. Okay, so does the same notion apply to Robert Saleh going back to be the DC, or is this more of an offensive thing with Bobby?
No, I think with Saleh it doesn't matter, because for one, it's his defense.
Yeah.
And Pete Carroll was a bigger influence on Robert Saleh than Kyle Shanahan was. Yeah. It's the other side of the ball. He's already established as a really good defensive coordinator. So him going back to San Francisco, it doesn't feel like he's going back to suck at mother's teat.
Right.
It's just him going back to do what he does, which is be a really good defensive coordinator.
And I guess thus far it's safe to assume that DeMeco is going to continue with the same structure of him being the guy calling the plays on defense and not having a CEO type.
Yeah, it all depends on, you know, how he feels with Matt Burke, yeah, and whether he thinks Matt Burke is ready or should take over for him, yeah, and DeMeco becomes more of a guy. You never know with the play calling exactly. It's always a committee affair on game day, no matter who the coach is, because there's certain guys that are responsible for short yardage. There's certain guys that are responsible for third downs and all of that. So the head coach, the play caller, is always consulting with those guys,
yeah,
with their area of focus for the week. So, it, you know, maybe DeMeco has already started doing that with Matt Burke a little bit.
We'll
you don't really know until you find out later when they write the book about the three Super Bowl championships.
Let's hope so, man. That would be absolutely amazing.
Why can't we be the team that people are saying is cheating via the officials? Damn it. That's what I want.
Would you take all the cheating and referee conspiracy theories for three Super Bowl rings? Oh, my God. In a second.
Oh. Yeah, I know how to use my filters on social media.
Yeah.
You just filter a few words out, and you never have to see any of the allegations.
Hey, I'll take good job. Hey, I'll take two World Series championships for a being better than everybody else scandal.
Yeah. At some point, you just start to own it.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoyed just being able to, like, you know, make jokes to Yankees fans about how, like, what do you guys expect? We own NASA.
Yep.
We've got the best technology in the world. You're never going to beat us. You'll never be able to outrun our cheating.
That's right.
Yeah, just own it, Chiefs.
Yep.
Come on.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, speaking of the offensive line, we just got done talking about Bobby Slowick, the offensive line. I had a lot of good questions to the podcast that I wanted to bring to you this week, Seth. I had a listener want us to go buy, hold, and sell on the Texans offensive linemen this year.
So join us next as I do Sean's podcast for him.
No, no, no. It's done already. It's in the can. I just thought you would enjoy these questions. So we'll do that. Buy, hold, sell on the Texans O-linemen. We'll do that coming up next. Stay there.